You're listening to ABC Radio Perth
with Gillian O'Shaughnessy.
Australia has a very high rate of pet ownership. We're about on par with the United States, but we're higher than pet ownership in the UK, which is interesting when you think about the way that pets are allowed in many more public spaces in the UK. Also in Europe and Canada and parts of America too. So yes, we do love our pets. We spend $12.2 billion a year on our pets in Australia. And we have about 4.8 million pet dogs and about 3.9 million pet cats in Australia. And there are more households with a pet than there are with a child. So it's quite a significant number of pets that we have here.
There is, and it's interesting, we talk about children and pets because a lot of the issue people have with pets in public are similar to the issue that they have with children in public, whether or not they do have children. But it's
That's
more
right.
about the person in charge of pet or child than it is about the pet.
That's exactly right. This is a topic that the interest in it has taken me a little bit by surprise. It's really opened up on social media, and you're right, a lot of the negativity is not actually based around, if we talk about dogs, for example, it's really about owners perhaps not acting as they should in terms of picking up dog poo or restraining their pets or making sure that they're on their leads and things. A lot of it has been directed more at humans rather than pets.
Karen called in and mentioned that before, without having a problem with pets per se, but before we start talking about allowing more pets into public spaces, we need to look at the infrastructure that we have to deal with that. And I imagine anyone who's been to Paris before they started enforcing strict laws around people cleaning up after their dogs would appreciate what Karen meant. But how well are we placed to manage the pets in terms of infrastructure that we already have, Louise?
Yeah, look, I think that's a great question. I think, I guess it's like a lot of these things, there are different layers of responsibility. So if you think about a lot of the legislation and regulation that we see is under the purview of the local government. So if you think about how pets are allowed on in parks or on beaches or in public squares or other public areas, a lot of the time that comes down to local government level. And also rules around having pets where food is being prepared. So if you think about taking pets to cafes or bars or those sorts of things. And then, of course, there are other sorts of levels of legislation that perhaps come under the state government purview. And I'm thinking here about pets on public transport, because that's another issue as well. We're being told constantly or more and more that we should be taking public transport. We need to get out of our cars and this is going to be good for the planet. But if you think about people who do actually want to travel with their pets, perhaps they're going to an event on the weekend and it's a pet-friendly event, there's no way they can get there if they want to take public transport. So it's a multi-layered sort of problem. But I think if we're... the other point to make, I guess, about this is the way that we're living is changing. So a lot of us are moving into apartments and we're losing those backyards and those opportunities for dogs and things to have room outside. And so a lot of us need to take our dogs for walks. We need to take them to go to the toilet. We might want to go and have a coffee while we're doing it. So the way that we live is changing, and I think we need to have sort of infrastructure that's going to allow us to have a bit more interaction.
One of the issues that some listeners have had is travelling with pets as well. So we're not just talking about living in a city or town with your pet. It's when you want to go and be a tourist, which we also try and encourage, but it's very difficult or can be to take your pet.
Yes, that's right. That's a really good point. So there are lots of websites now and travel books and things that sort of give you tips about where you can go and travel with your pet, but we're certainly nowhere near as advanced in this as they are in, I'm thinking of the United Kingdom, for example. There's a lovely show with Griff Rhys-Jones, the comedian, and he's travelling around Scotland and he travels with his Labrador called Cadbury, and they check into hotels all over the place in Scotland, and nobody bats an eyelid when Cadbury comes into the reception with Griff Rhys-Jones. And there are plenty of other examples. If you go into a pub in the UK, for example, you'll usually see an old dog lying by the fire, or there'll be dogs under the tables. And people seem to just sort of get on with life whilst they are interacting with animals in public. But I think we've got a fair way to go here in Australia, and you're right, it's a pretty polarising topic.
Where would you like to see a start, Louise?
I think a good start would be, and I know every state is different, Gillian, and I mean, I've been talking to lots of different states
yes.
today. but, you know, if we perhaps started with cafes and things, a lot of people take their dogs for a walk. They want to stop and have a coffee. I understand that not everybody wants to have a coffee with dogs around, but perhaps cafes could have be given more leeway to perhaps have areas where people can dine or have a drink outside or even inside in some parts of buildings where pets are welcome. That might be a good start. I think opening up some of the times in parks and beaches, and I know you had that caller earlier that was complaining about the smell on beaches, but here in Hobart where I live, we've got a couple of dedicated dog beaches. Perhaps opening up those sorts of opportunities. I think that's a good start.
And public transport, we have discussed this a little bit. It's a big issue, but as you say, if you want to travel somewhere with your pet, unless you drive or it's close enough to walk, you can't take your pets on public transport, and you can't take them in cabs or Ubers either, so it is very limiting.
That's right. So I think in Melbourne there are some very, very restrictive times that you can take a dog on a tram, for example, but they're usually, not really times that suit a lot of people. If you want to take a dog on a ferry in Sydney, for example, that's at the discretion of the captain of the ferry. So I think that we could open up some times, or maybe you have a carriage that's a carriage that's for people who are travelling with pets, and obviously other people who don't mind travelling with pets could go into those sorts of carriages. But I think opening up some of the restrictions would be a good idea, because I think, as you've probably already mentioned, there are so many benefits from interacting with pets. You know, there's general health and well-being. It's good for our mental health. The research has shown that being around pets can lower our blood pressure, and also they're really good at reducing social isolation and loneliness. There was some research that was conducted at the University of Western Australia, and they found that 60% of respondents who had a dog actually knew their neighbours much better than people on the same street who didn't have a pet. And even if you had a cat or a bird or a ferret or something and not a dog, 25% of those people also knew their neighbours much better. So they're very good at breaking down social barriers, starting conversations, and I think, you know, there's a lovely story up here in Tasmania, up north in Tasmania, of a man who goes to the local shops every day, and he goes with his pet bird on his shoulder, and it just brings a big smile to everyone's face who interacts with him. And so I think more opportunity would be great.